Welcome to I Hate It Here, the podcast for HR and people professionals making the hardest job in the world just a little bit easier. I'm Hibi Youssef.
You have to think about what those logical processes are. Okay, someone needs to get hired. What are the steps that need to happen in order for me to onboard that person? Or what does good recruiting look like? And so once you start to think about those logical processes, but more importantly, what's the end goal of that process? Then you have to think about, okay, who's going to do this? Is it a person? Is it a tool? Is it technology? And then what ways can I make this really streamlined? How do I automate it, make it really efficient?
Understanding your direct reports, avoiding team burnout. Those sound like worthy causes, right? PI Inspire promotes leadership at every level. Stop losing good people to avoidable issues like poor communication and a one-size-fits-all management approach and inspire them instead. Learn more at predictiveindex.com. Are you celebrating employee milestones like birthdays, anniversaries, or onboarding? What about customer milestones or even Employee Appreciation Day on March 1st? Don't let the chance to celebrate and spark joy slip away from you. You should check out Snappy, a gifting platform that takes all the guesswork out of gifting. Want to send a gift collection and let them choose their favorite? Snappy's got you covered. Need to send swag that people actually want? They've got it. Know what you want to gift? Great, because they can do that too. Deliver delight with Snappy every time for every occasion. Go to www.snappy.com/I Hate It Here to sign up for free and start gifting today. Okay, welcome back to another episode of the I Hate It Here podcast. I will not be singing today, much to everyone's disappointment. I am super pumped to have Sarah join me today because, fun fact, the first time I met her, she ran after me at a conference around a corner and said, "Hey, you're that girl who sends me a lot of emails." And I've never been more happy to be recognized in the wild. It was truly a celebrity moment for me. So, Sarah, thank you. I mean, listen, I'm so weird that when people tell me they're a fan, I'm like, oh, what do I do with my hands? Like, I just never know what to do. So, I mean, like, and then we just bonded. Sarah and I just like instantly bonded. And I went to Texas. I went to Austin, Texas, and we hung out at a Rippling event. More on that later. And it was just such a good time. And I feel like we just instantly vibed with each other. We met each other's energy where it was.
Personal connection. We live in DC. I lived in DC. HR.
Love it. HR, what we're here to talk about today. Just kidding. I love HR. Okay, but before I get to it and we start talking about today's topic, will you introduce yourself for everyone, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's nice to meet you all. My name is Sarah. I have about 8 years of HR experience, most notably and most recently, I guess, during the pandemic. I was getting my master's degree in HR while simultaneously like trying to build HR departments. Pretty wild. So I was the HR party of one at a small early stage tech startup here in LA called Steno. And then shortly after that, moved over to Tilt out of Fort Collins, where I was part of a small but mighty team there. And then since then, as you mentioned already, about like I joined the Rippling team. I'm a senior HR solutions consultant on this team, which is a little different than a traditional HR role. So I like to say I'm an HR manager in recovery now. But what that means really is I don't work directly on an HR team, but I talk to HR leaders every single day about their processes, their pain points, the tools that they use, and ways that they want to improve those workflows. So I help these individual HR parties of one or even these small but mighty teams understand how they could leverage Rippling to streamline their HR operations and overall business needs.
Okay, first of all, I love that. I say that all the time too. I'm always like, I love that. But I do, because when you have worked as like a team of one and then you also get to interact with like really great software to make your job even better, there's something there. And I love Rippling. We're both holding up our Rippling mugs right now. It's hysterical.
Cheers.
Cheers. That's really cute. And I'm excited to dive into that experience today too, because have I been an HR team of one? I think I've been a team of like one or two. I've never been just me. So yeah. I'm really excited to talk to you about that today because you have done that. And that is something very interesting to me. And I know a lot of people who listen are also HR teams of one, or they have like very little resources. So we're going to focus on that today, or HR party of one, as Sarah likes to say. So talk to me about unique challenges that come with being an HR team of one.
you know, as a business, you get relied on for a lot of those things. And it can be really taxing, right? Like, you are the go-to person for everything that they need on this front. And so when I started to think about what People Operations was, I was able to kind of sort everything into two distinct parts. First, what is the people stuff, the fun stuff, the onboarding, the employee engagement, talent management, recruiting, all that. And then what was the operations, thinking like the really nitty gritty HR stuff, the offer letters and the policies and the corrective action and the regulations and all that, like, not so fun stuff. And at my org, I was also responsible for payroll, which I know, hot take, everyone in HR is like, we shouldn't touch payroll. But when you are responsible for, you know, managing the regulations and also have to be involved in one of the highest expenses basically for every company, it was really, really important. And yeah, having to work with finance to make those critical decisions was just like an extra responsibility that was really valuable. And I took away a lot from that experience, but definitely hard. So to answer your question, it's really hard to manage all those different things and what you're responsible for on a day-to-day as a single team of one.
It's balancing the people and the business, I think, that is, I think personally, like, the most unique part of being a team of one is, like, the business sometimes needs things that the people would need the different thing. And then you're by yourself with that entire responsibility of, how do I manage all of this? So it feels like an impossible job.
1,000%. And then add in that component of being at a startup where everyone is a leader. Everyone is a driven, high-functioning, motivated contributor to the team. Everyone has a vision of what good looks like and how we should do it. And sometimes people are reinventing the wheels on two different sides of the org. So it's really important also to understand how people are doing things, how they want to do things, and, you know, what the philosophy is as an org for how we want to drive some of those initiatives.
And hot take, I don't think payroll should sit in HR, but I have had it as well. And I've had it in finance. And I think that's like a, I think it's like a hot take. People are going to listen to this and be like, oh my God, I have an opinion on where payroll should sit. My thought is finance.
I think it needs to be a partnership. It's a cross collaboration, right? Like, I need to be the one to tell you someone's getting promoted and they're going to have a salary change, or maybe that someone's department change and all of those, like, you think what happens in like the HRS, all those functional changes. But that needs to feed over to payroll. And then I need to make sure also that all of that data related to like time card punches, if we have hourly employees, like, are we following the right rules? I live in California. California is tricky, right? Like, got to make sure that that's all handled correctly. And so I think at Steno, I did like take over payroll initially and work like really closely with the finance team. But as I was transitioning out of that role, did try and share as much as I could with the finance team and really make it that partnership where there was a clear division of labor of who is responsible for making sure like payroll is paid properly, but who is responsible for pushing the button and accounting for it and all of that. Those were two distinct roles for sure.
Okay, so you, as an HR team of one, you're wearing all those hats, right? Everything you and I just talked about. Yeah. How do you actually manage your time effectively and prioritize the tasks to ensure that you're working on the things that are most critical to your organization?
That's such a good question. And it's so interesting. And the reason I mentioned about my master's degree is because I started, it was hire number 40, first HR hire at this company while I was getting my degree, while I was, you know, knee deep in textbooks, not the kind of books that you like to read, I imagine. No. But I was knee deep in those textbooks. And so I had an idea of what good looked like or what the textbook version looked like. And you have to think about what those logical processes are. Okay, someone needs to get hired. What are the steps that need to happen in order for me to onboard that person? Or what does good recruiting look like? And so once you start to think about those logical processes, but more importantly, what's the end goal of that process? Then you have to think about, okay, who's going to do this? Is it a person? Is it a tool? Is it technology? And then what ways can I make this really streamlined? How do I automate it, make it really efficient? And it was actually, ironically enough, it was the CTO, the chief technology officer at Steno, who originally introduced me to Rippling, because he thought, this is really cool technology. I like what they're doing over there. By the way, their HR tool, like, you should check it out. And now I know that Rippling is so much more than that. But after so many years of experience with ADP and TriNet and all these other like really old school tools, I was so excited to see how Rippling can help me achieve a lot of those goals and scale the business in the way that I wanted to, with those end goals in mind, incorporating a lot of that automation and all of the things that I really wanted to do to like drive these initiatives forward.
So what I'm hearing is tech could be the solve to being more efficient at our jobs. Some tech.
I know that's what you preach, and I fully believe it. I mean, my first job out of college, I worked for Apple. So, you know, as a girl who loves her phone.
Yeah, you're like, I get it.
Apple, a little fangirl moment. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I feel that, because there are so many things when you're just a team of one or you have very little resources. If you have to spend your time manually doing anything, that goes in the bucket for me of like waste of time. Like if I have to manually do this process every time, it's not going to scale well. And if I don't have a solution that lets me do this quickly, like then I'm going to spend my day doing working on things that are maybe important, but aren't going to actually drive the business forward.
We were hiring about 10 people a month, and I got up to 80 people before I hired a generalist to come work on my team. And the good news was I hired like one of my best friends in the world to come work with me. But yeah, that it was a lot of work, and I don't think I could have been successful. And I actually attribute a lot of my success to what I was able to do with technology, with the help of a tool that made me, turned me into an octopus, for lack of a better phrase.
No, I agree. The tech to me is just, it can save so much time, which I like. Yeah, I'm always thinking about how do I save my time, because I have such limited of it. And so if like there's a tool that can help you save time, like you were hiring 10 people a month, that's wild. That's like 10 people to onboard, offer letters, schedule the interviews. Ah.
There's actually a couple of us on the solutions consultant team here at Rippling that were previous Rippling customers. So it's not the normal profile for this type of role, but we've used the product. We understand the pain points that some of our other customers out there are facing. And it's been really cool to collaborate with, you know, like, you know, one of my best friends at work now, he was for one of our larger customers in the enterprise side. So it's been really interesting to see how different HR leaders have approached using Rippling, how we've come into this role and how we talk about our experience with Rippling. It's been really powerful, I think, of course, for Rippling to have all these people who can advocate, but also just for us to share ideas and to really collaborate on like, what does someone mean when they're asking about personnel action forms? And what does someone mean when they need to think about headcount planning? Like, we can really be that technical expertise, but also this industry expertise to help drive, you know, the evaluation and help people make decisions about this type of technology.
I think it's always fascinating when people love the tech so much they go work there. I think that just like speaks volumes, honestly, especially for like HR tech, where I know everyone has an opinion on HR tech. I think it's like one of the worst industries to work in when it comes to technology, because it's not really a decision like we also as HR leaders can completely just make, right? Because it impacts everyone across the org. So if you choose a bad technology, like I've worked places where employees have been like, I will not use that system. Or I have to like beg them to log in to do something. And I'm like, I don't want to have to beg you to log in to do the thing that I told you to do. I want you to like not feel excited to log in, but like at least not hate logging in.
You have to get that alignment from your stakeholders early on all things. And it's not just the technology, right? Like something that I didn't do well, actually, and that if I was to go back and do it all again at some of these companies is to take inventory of every single stakeholder and what their idea of good HR looks like, what their risk tolerance is, what their people management philosophy is, and really like take that inventory and use it. So when I'm building these strategic things based on what I think looks good and what I think the company needs, it's so aligned with what the business wants and what these stakeholders want. I feel like there were so many times where I misfired and I was like, this is the thing. This is by the textbook. I'm basically using the paper I wrote for my class last semester and I'm presenting it to my leadership, and it would totally backfire because it was not aligned with their vision of what this would look like. And so if I was, like I said, if I was to do it again, I would get that spectrum out, I would take inventory, and I would do that on a regular cadence. I would do that like quarterly and say, like, this is what we have on our goals list for the next quarter. This is what you've told me so far. Like, I just want to make sure I'm aligned before I try and drive some of these initiatives forward. And it's initiatives anywhere from performance management process to onboarding process to the technology. What technology are we using? Is this going to solve a pain point for everyone, or is this just something that I'm going to benefit from?
That like makes me think about a lot. I have a lot of questions about stakeholder management, but that's like not what we're going to talk about today, because we're an HR team of one. Part two, we can get to, you know, stakeholder management. That's, I could solely rant about that. Like, you could be like, hit record, and like 3 hours later, I would be done ranting about stakeholder management. 3 hours, maybe actually 5 hours. Okay, so back to thinking about like prioritization when you're an HR team of one, when you are a team of one, you have to balance all the various HR functions. Like you said, you were hiring 10 people a month, but that also means like onboarding to growth and development of those people to all these things. So how do you do that when you're the only person on the team? Like, how do you work across every HR function, which our job itself is very wide, is like wider than any other function, I think, because we touch so much.
It's really hard. You have to balance between the things that are business critical, payroll, terminations, leaves of absence, those things that just like drop on your desk, we need to handle now. And then what are like the business essential things? Well, I need to hire people, so I need to have documents in place. I need to be able to onboard them. What are we doing for performance management? And then there are things that are so important, but they just don't fit into either of those buckets. There's like not enough time in the day. It's the employee engagement. It's the compensation planning. It's maybe actually writing the handbook, especially at an early stage startup. Those are the things that become kind of like in left in the undertow, and they don't get the attention they need. It's all the things that it's like, well, we'll figure it out. It's like, no, we need to know this now. And honestly, sometimes I wonder if in a past life or even like in a parallel life, I was a firefighter, because I don't know. I don't know how I did it. And I really, if I look back at that time, I was working 12 hours a day. I was answering phones on Saturday morning, talking to the CEO about like, okay, like we need to talk about this thing that we didn't talk about all this week. And I loved my job at Steno. I absolutely loved it, but it is hard. It is not easy. And so anyone who was hoping for me to say that I have the secret sauce on how to balance that, I don't, but you got to be in for the ride for sure. Yeah.
There's no right answer to the question I just asked, like, because I think it just depends. Like it is, I also think if I went back and did things differently, like I don't know how I did things 5 years ago, like when I had no resources, it just seems like wild. But I think the way you positioned it is like there are things that have to be done, and there are other things that like you want to do, but you don't actually have the time to do. And I think just being okay saying like, hey, I can't do those things. I think like I'm always afraid to admit failure. I feel much safer in the environment I work in now where I can say like, hey, I messed that up, or I have a good enough relationship with my founders, or I can be honest about those things. But in the past, I was so afraid to say no, or that I don't have bandwidth, so I would do everything. And I think if anyone's listening to this, like, I just want to remind you, like, you can't do everything. There are some things you're just never going to get to, especially if you're a team of one.
I think that's true for any job. That is not unique to HR. Okay. I have a whole list of things that I need to do for my current job that are so nice to have things that I'm not doing. So if my boss is listening,
she's great. She got all the things that she's about to die. It's true.
It's challenging. Yeah.
I think like every job is challenging. I do think like, I don't know, maybe I should go work in a different department someday, because I think I have like such a bias for HR where I'm like, HR is the hardest. Don't tell me it's not. Like, it is the hardest job. But I just think it impacts so much that I feel like there's an added pressure always on us to do everything and to get everything done.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like other departments are like, oh, I didn't get to that. And I'm just like, oh, what?
It's so interesting because I am on a sales team now. And as an HR person, you always think like, oh, God, sales, like, I don't know. But, you know, to answer your question, or like to like reiterate the point you were just making about what's it like being on another team? I'm having that experience now where there are still challenges of, am I creating something that someone else is already working on? Or how are we going to get all these things done? And there's not enough time in the day. And all of these things that are important and nice to have and pain points and deal breakers, and things like that, that we are looking at just on the list of things that we have to get done for a given day or a given week is complicated. And I think the number one skill that I probably got out of my HR experience that is directly transferable is that time management, being able to really prioritize, like, what are these things that are business critical? What are the things that are business essential? And what are the things that we'll figure out later? Like, I think that skill is true in any role.
I always think we have it hardest in HR, but that's probably just, like I told you, my narrow view of the world. And maybe I need to expand my view more because I've been on other teams, but nothing feels as like important as HR. But maybe that's just because I care so much and that's where I am. But it's so interesting because when I'm encountering problems in work, I'm always thinking, asking myself like two questions, like what is the reach of this problem? Like how far spread across the organization is it? How many people is it going to impact across the organization? The world of work has changed for good, but many HR performance management tools just don't cut it. Enabling performance in the modern world of work requires a modern approach, one that's agile and asynchronous, but still fosters connection and collaboration. Have you heard about PI Inspire? It was designed specifically for today's performance management challenges. It helps you gain a deep understanding about yourself and your team and share personalized insights to help you learn how to manage and develop each direct report. Meet people where they are and start developing new leaders at every level. Learn more about PI Inspire at www.predictiveindex.com. Celebrating every occasion from work anniversaries to birthdays and holidays shouldn't be stressful for HR teams. You need a platform that makes gifting easy and enables you to send gifts to your employees, customers, and everyone in between. You need Snappy. Have a gift in mind? They've got it. Love the idea of a gift collection for your recipients to choose their favorite item? Look no further. Want swag your employees will actually love? Snappy can make that a reality. Snappy creates a gifting experience that's just as unique as your recipients, and they can make it happen in a snap. Don't wait until March 1st to remember it's Employee Appreciation Day. Sign up for free and start gifting today at www.snappy.com/I hate it here. So, okay, we've touched on this a little bit. Like we've talked a little bit about like how you prioritize everything and the things you use to like get work done. So I'm going to ask this question though. In a one-person HR department, technology tools can play such a significant role. What are some essential HR tools?
I had a leader. It's so funny that you asked that because I had a leader once tell me that we should always bear the administrative burden when the benefit is greater for the employee. And I thought that was such good advice at the time. I was like, yes, I will do it. I will take every sword. And now I realize that that was such bad advice because if I'm taking the administrative burden and doing all of these things manually, then I am not actually doing a benefit for the employee. Like it does not make any sense at all. So I think if HR is too bogged down with all these manual processes, then of course you can't get to those strategic things. You can't focus on the people, which are, you know, it's in Apple's, like the first thing on Apple's, what do they call it? They call it their manifesto or something less culty.
Their values.
The most important asset is our people, right? And so to answer your question about technology and tools, I 100% Rippling, you know, if you haven't heard of Rippling, by the way, we've talked about Rippling a lot, but if you haven't heard about Rippling, workforce management system combines HR, IT, finance, single source of truth, help your team run more efficiently. That's the Cliff Notes version. But I started evaluating Rippling as one of my first big projects at Steno, and I knew pretty immediately that I was impressed and it was going to be our solution, but it was just a matter of like the logistics, how, when, what are we going to do, all of that. We didn't have any processes, and so I was building the plane as I was flying it, trying to implement Rippling. It was chaos. Trying to get a master's degree. Madness. It was absolute madness. But I really do attribute a lot of my success in my role at Steno. I said this before, to having Rippling as that primary tool. And, you know, I'm drinking out of the cup. I'm wearing the t-shirt, you know, all this stuff. I understand what this sounds like. I work at Rippling. But it is. It's a total fangirl moment for me because I 1,000% believe in this product. I would never go back to an HR role without it. So much so that when I left Steno One to Tilt, I said, by the way, I think we should evaluate Rippling. And I implemented it again. So if I come out of recovery and I go back into an HR role, it's going to be with a team who's either using Rippling or open to using Rippling. Because I fundamentally believe that it made me a better, more strategic HR person who didn't have to think about all the day-to-day admin work.
I love your affinity for Rippling. Like, I love it because, like, I now have used it. And I think there's something to be said that you've used it, implemented it twice, and then went and worked there. Like, that's got to be something. Like, it's my dream. I think I was telling you this when we were talking, like, at the end of the year last year. Like, I can't think of a single product I love that much. So, like, I admire that that's it for you because you've seen such what an impact it has had. And I mean, for me, I do love Rippling now. Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel that way about Greenhouse sometimes too. Like, I think it's one of the best ATSs out there. So I just think it's like what you need in the moment that you're in it and what works best for your organization. The thing about tech that I think is so interesting is that, like, I'll be honest, I have picked the wrong solution before. I have, like, evaluated all of them, gone in one direction, picked a software, and then been like, I hate this. And I regret the fact that I picked it, even though I did my whole evaluation process. And so, like, the thing I will say about tech now, if you're thinking about it, is you should find something that's really going to grow and scale with you, which, like, you don't have to go when you go in with an HR software, you don't have to go wide right away. Cause I feel like a lot of HR softwares have, like, modules, right? Where it's like, you could pick this thing or that thing or this thing. And so I think if you're thinking about HR tools today and, like, how to even evaluate one, just pick one that scales with you, which I just think is a game changer. Where I feel like a lot, maybe like 5 or 7 years ago, it felt like there were a lot of one-off solutions that you almost had to, like, Frankenstein together, which drove me nuts. I remember telling someone, like, the average, and then that's where you all had that. I, like, the average HR team uses like 9 to 15 tools. I saw that stat somewhere.
Yeah. I wonder how many people are on that.
Probably way too many. They're just like, that's like bad resourcing all around. But okay, so I do remember a time in my life where I would have to go to one system, pull down the data, go to our HRIS, pull down the data, go pull our engagement thing in, go pull this thing in. And I would have like 4 different data sets, trying to put them all in an Excel sheet to understand what the F was going on. And I would do it for hours. And I look back on that now and I'm like, what a waste of my time to have to do that. But I feel like back then, and I say back then, it was like the 1900s, but like 5 to 7 years ago, it felt like a lot of HR tools were like little piecemeals that you were like placing on top of each other, layers of a cake. And I feel like in the last few years, we've really seen the trend where it's like a one-stop shop. Like Rippling to me feels like a one-stop shop a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, we use Rippling at work week, so like I'm also biased. So yeah, there's that. But I feel like a lot of HR tools are moving in that direction. And I think we're going to see more and more, like Lattice just released an HRIS and they started as a performance management system and now they have an HRIS. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch technology in the HR space over the next few years and see how it continues to evolve. Because I just think like there are going to be some clear front runners. I mean, like you will always have your front runner. I may always have mine. But I'm intrigued to see like what emerges and what continues happening over the next few years when it comes to HR tech.
It's really kind of awesome to see how the space has really latched on to this concept of a single source of truth. But, you know, now I have to say this, Hiba, buyer beware of bolted on Frankensystems like you were describing, like teams that are building these tools out of acquisition, or are they building them natively? And I think that's the primary difference that I always go back to when I tell people about Rippling, is that it is operating off of the data and attributes that are true about your employees. And all of that feeds into these different product verticals, payroll, time and attendance, benefits. It's all feeding off of that same source data that allows you to run the report that you were talking about and have everything interconnected. So it's very cool to see so many players in this space. I have a favorite. I don't know.
We haven't noticed. You haven't been very clear about it. Like maybe we should. I'm kidding.
But I really believe in it.
Yeah, and I think your experience too, where you've been an HR team of one so many times. Honestly, like with a really great tech, it's like you're an HR team of two. And a lot of the tech itself, like, I don't want to go as far to say it wouldn't cost as much as like an additional headcount, because I don't like the idea of like, let's replace people with a tool, but it's more like it supplements you to do your job better, honestly.
Then you can hire. So I had Rippling up and going by the time I hired, her name is Megan. I love Megan. Hi, Megan. By the time I hired Megan, we had Rippling up and going. We had processes, things in place, but there was that like next level of strategic initiative that we wanted to do that I was going to own. And we needed someone to just like man the ship, make sure that these people were getting not only like brought into Rippling, and there is still maintenance. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's no maintenance with Rippling, but get people onboarded, bring them in, but then also facilitate onboarding experience and facilitate that employee experience. Those were two distinct roles that leveraged Rippling, but it wasn't another person. You know, Rippling didn't replace the value of having a human. It just freed us up both up to do more in a given week.
I remember one time when I was in so many systems, someone asked me a question and I was like, I'm going to need an hour to answer that. And they were like, you can't look that up right now. And I was like, no, I cannot. Because that system doesn't talk to this system, which talks to this system. And the answer you're looking for, I actually have to go to three different systems to get you a real tangible answer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the thought of like freeing up our bandwidth from the admin and like the daily, the nuances that come with this, like the processes that come with being in HR, freeing up our mind from like doing that manual stuff to being able to think more strategic is like a huge unlock for a lot of HR leaders.
Free smart people to work on hard problems. That's what it says on a wall somewhere in a Rippling office. But that's true. Exactly what you said. You came to that conclusion before I even said it, right? Like,
yeah.
But that's exactly what we're after. And I lived it. I believe it. I think it's really easy for someone to listen to this maybe and think that this was a Rippling ad, but this is just truly what I would tell anyone who asked me.
Yeah. I mean, you have the experience and I wanted to hear about it because I think there are so many people that are an HR team of one and don't have the resources they need and do spend most of their days working on the daily grind instead of focusing on how do I actually help this organization move into the future.
HR, ironically, is one of the most important parts of a business's operations, but it's also and very often, and I think incorrectly, sidelined as this like non-critical function. But if you think about it, HR people aren't necessarily the first department that's hired, but they're often the ones that like will help turn the lights out when it's all done. It's really important to think about how you can get alignment really early on, as I also talked about before, just making sure that you are really advocating for the resources that you need to drive the goals of the business. And it all comes back to finding out what those goals of the business are, who your stakeholders are, advocating for better resources, creating initiatives that are aligned with all of those things, and advocating for resources that make HR a more efficient process and a more efficient priority.
Okay, so how would you recommend someone do that? So many people are in this situation where HR is like still seen as this like secondary, not important function.
Yeah.
How would you advocate if you're like a team of one? How would you advocate for HR initiatives and communicating the value to those leaders that really don't view us as a primary function?
It's creating a use case that ties back to ROI. Return on investment. So I want to build out performance management. Leaders don't think it's important today, or, you know, maybe execs don't have time to focus on that as an initiative, but managers are asking for it. So I have to balance two groups of stakeholders and think about how I'm going to approach that. I think you start by understanding why leaders don't want to focus on it. Do they not have time? Do they not think it's necessary? Why no? And then talk to those managers about why they're asking for it. Are employees asking for it? Do they feel like it's something they need to do? What's the why there? And so you take all of that data and now you build a plan based on the information you have and present that to all the stakeholders and say, this is what I'm thinking. Low touch or high touch or however, you know, whatever we think it should be. Does this align with what we think we want as a first draft? And so when you take the time to, again, take that inventory, understand what you need, build something that's aligned with that need, and present how it can have a good return on investment based on the specific pain points, you've just added value in a way where people might have thought wasn't needed before. And it can be something that you think about and that you spend the time to ideate that other people don't have time to imagine. If your CEO or your execs are telling you they don't have time to think about this right now, no problem. If you were to think about it for 5 minutes, what would be your thoughts? Give them to me. Let me come up with a solution, you know, in the next few weeks.
I think the switch with HR going from like this like secondary paper pushing industry and function to us actually being a strategic seat at the table, a big part of it has been that more and more CEOs and founders are understanding these people, like you said, Apple's manifesto, whatever, like that people are the priority. And I think like everything we do as HR, like isn't so important to those people, is going to impact and touch everyone across the organization. So if you are dealing or you're in a situation where HR is seen as a secondary function, I love the advice Sarah just gave. Like that was like a masterclass in how to get what you want, get your initiative across the line. And I think you did it in the exact right way. Like understand the problem, find your advocates and your allies, like get their feedback early and frequently and show them why it's important.
101. But you know, it's easy for me to articulate now, but in the moment it is so hard. So I think start with a small thing. People don't like the LaCroix flavor you have in the fridge at the office. Okay, well, like, how are we going to address that problem, right? Like, maybe that minimizes what I'm trying to say here, but I do think that that's the point. It's like a lot of the things I'm talking about or the examples I'm giving are kind of these big processes, performance management, onboarding, right? It's like all of these big kind of structural parts of the org. But I do think that you can start really small, do some pulse surveys, understand like what people feel like they need or want, why they want those things, and start building from there. I think the important thing to note, though, is that these things don't just change over time. But when you create a plan, put together evidence, and kind of rinse and repeat on that for as long as you need to, that's where you have a more compelling case. And that's where you really position yourself as part of the business operation. HR departments are old school, right? My mom has been in HR her entire career. And when I talked to her about some of the things that I was working on at Steno and the challenges I've had, she was in awe and so much admired how critical I was and my role in the work I was doing was to the business operation. And so that to me clicked a light bulb, or turned on a light bulb, clicked, whatever you want to call it, that HR and people operations are old school and new school. People operations is how we're focusing on the people and what that operation is, and really being part of that full operations org or umbrella in the business. And so I think people operations is such a critical name change and a shift. And when you start to think about what does people operations mean and what is HR, they're different. HR is the nitty gritty. It's the details. It's kind of like the catch all for all these things that we've been talking about. But people operations is the strategic approach to managing your HR function. And that's why I call myself a pop star, not because, you know, I'm like good with a microphone, because I am not. Can't sing. But I really, really believe that people operations, when you start to think about people operations, that will have a significant mindset shift that will help you do some of the things that we've been talking about.
I love that. I have two things to add. One, the best compliment I've ever received was from a former head of engineering I worked with. And as I was departing the organization, he said, "I just want you to know, out of every HR leader I have worked with, you have been the first who has balanced what the business needs with what the people needs are in perfect harmony with one another."
Yeah.
And I think about that. I'm like, my really sad days of doing this work, I think about that compliment quite frequently, because that truly is how you become, I think, like the best dang HR and people operations person out there. And you start to understand the needs of the business, and you have a filter through the needs of the people, and you're able to balance those two. And sometimes it feels impossible. Like when you have to do layoffs, that's like an impossible situation where you have to do the business before the people. But there's a lot about how you do a layoff that actually is people first thought. Are you kind when you do it? What can you offer them? Are you communicative? Do they feel fear or not feel fear? So that's one thing I think about quite a bit. And the second thing is when you're talking about the HR people ops name change, I posted this meme on LinkedIn as a joke. So as a joke, I thought it was like a funny joke, like, right? It had the two casts of the Mean Girls, like the original Lindsay Lohan and the revive with the Renee Rapp. And it was like HR was like the OG Mean Girls one and people operations was like the new one. And I just thought I was making like a funny joke. And people in the comments were like actually debating what our function should be called. Wow. And people were like, here's why we should be called People Ops. And I was like, what? Why am I getting so many comments on this post? I literally was blown away. I was like, I was just like kidding with this. Like I was like being kind of like funny. And now everyone's like taking this very seriously.
But
so
I think it's different, right? Like, well, I think, you know, it's so funny that you say that. I don't think that HR or People Ops is HR. I think People Ops has HR, right? And that's like a distinct thing. So yeah, it is. Yeah, that's so, and now I'm going to run over to LinkedIn and look at those comments because I'm curious to see what
there were like 40 or 50. I was like, why are people commenting on this? This was literally just a joke I was making because I love Renee Rapp and I love Mean Girls and all my branding is Mean Girls related. Like,
what?
Okay, Sarah, I've like loved our discussion today. Being an HR team of one, I just don't know how you did it. And I feel like you're going to look back on that in 10 years and be like, wow, I never want to do that again.
Because like, I that's
so I joke all the time. I have so many white hairs. You can't see them, but they are there. I like stick them in the dark hair. So like, you can't see them. Okay. So for people who are an HR team of one or are currently dealing with this and are listening, what advice do you have to share?
Someone just gave me this advice and I really had to pick my jaw up off the floor. But the best advice that I've gotten recently and the advice I'd give anyone listening is you have survived 100% of your worst days.
Wow.
Meaning every single day that you thought was a bad day, any time that you had to cry to your CEO or cry to your mom or cry to whoever, you survived that day and came back the next day and you kept going. And even if you left and you were like, this ain't for me, I'm out of here, you survived that too. So you survived 100% of your worst days.
That's really beautiful.
I love it. It's like, put it on a shirt, put it on a mug, say it before I go to bed.
Put it on a mug. I love that advice. I also, sometimes I want to give the advice to people like, it's not that serious. But actually, a lot of our job is really serious because we are heavily regulated.
That's not good advice for an HR person.
By laws. Actually, never mind. I'm never going to give that advice. Not a good advice for an HR person. Maybe like, I don't know. Maybe my advice should be, and now I feel like I have all this pressure to give really good advice too because that was like so beautiful what you gave. Maybe my advice will be that you can't do everything really great. That's like another thing I've been working on. Like you can do a few things and be great at them. You can't do everything and be outstanding at everything. I just think that is impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my advice would be like, yeah, think about the three or four things that you can do really well. And if you have like 15 things on your plate, really ask yourself, like, are these things going to move the needle forward for the business and the people? And if the answer is like no, and you're not like legally required to do it, I don't think you should do it.
Yeah, that's right. It goes back to the buckets, right? Business critical, business essential, nice to have. Got to prioritize all that.
Love that. Okay, so for people listening, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh my God. Hi, I'm Sarah. You can find me on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn with the rest of us. Yeah, I'll link to your profile in the show notes. I always ask people like how, in case you have like a special way where you're like, I actually have this dope TikTok following. You could follow me there.
Call me, beat me if you want to reach me.
Call me, beat me if you want to reach me. I love that. I still tell people that. You know, my text tone is the Kim Possible beep, right?
My mom's is the nose wiggle from Bewitched. And I think it's so
cute. I love that. That is adorable. Okay, with that. I am so thankful you agreed to join me today. I always have a good time when we talk and you've seen it all. You've seen some stuff and you came out the other side.
There's a great book on my bookshelf called You Can't Make This Shit Up. And I'm pretty sure both of us and everyone listening probably could write that book themselves. It's all about HR. It's like chicken soup for the HR soul. So would recommend.
Oh my God, I love that. I used to read those chicken soup books growing up and I would truly just sob in my room and my mom would be like, stop reading these. You are way too emotional. Every time you read them, you're always crying for days. And I'm like,
but thank you so much for having
chicken soup for the HR soul.
I love hanging out with you.
Anytime.
Thanks for tuning in. Keep up with all the latest HR resources by subscribing on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you love I Hate It Here, tell an HR friend. I'll see you next time.